Welcome everyone. I'd like to call this meeting to order. If everyone could please stand for a moment of silence. Thank you. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Bell?
Here.
Mr. Cartier?
Here.
Ms. Diller?
Here.
Mr. Hollins?
Here.
Ms. Kirkpatrick?
Here.
Mr. Kovac?
Present.
Mr. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Retta?
Here.
Mr. Sheldon?
Here.
Mr. Smiley?
Here.
Mr. Street?
Here.
Mr. Tackett?
Here.
Mr. Weiner?
Here.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13 present.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Moving on to the approval of minutes. Are there any corrections or amendments to the minutes of the meeting of October 25th, 2011?
Motion to approve is submitted.
Second. Hearing none, and a motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
The minutes are approved. Moving on, announcements from members of council. First of all, I would like to welcome the Dell Tech political science class in attendance. You can all wave for our benefit. All right. Now you're taking good notes? You know, we should get out before midnight tonight, probably. So.
If they don't say too much.
Yeah, if you don't say too much during the public comment period. But thank you, Professor Goodzoon. Did I come close? Is that close? All right. Well, thanks for coming in. That's great. The more poli-sci classes we can get in here and learn about government, the better. So thank you for coming in. It just came from a Wilmington University political science class, so welcome. Announcements from other members of council. Ms. Kirkpatrick.
Mr. President, at the appropriate time, I will be tabling Ordinance 11-105.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Councilman Cartier? Any other announcements from members of council? Seeing none, moving on to item D, introduction of ordinances. Madam Clerk, can you please proceed with the introduction of the ordinances?
Ordinance 11-107, amendment capital budget, increase appropriations by $62,500 of Delta Community Transportation Funds for the general paving project for Concord Soccer Field Parking Area Sections 1 and 2. Ordinance 11-108, amend the grants budget, appropriate $25,257 in federal funding to the Criminal Justice Council, CJC, reducing homicide and violent crime grant to the Newcastle County Police.
All ordinances shall be considered at the November 8th council meeting with the exception of, November 22nd council meeting with the exception of those items that require board or commission recommendations. Because it's November 8th tonight. Moving on, reports from select and special committees. Any member of council have reports? Councilman Cartier?
Yes, the administrative / finance committee met today where we had a discussion of the taxes paid in error, refunds, the sort of usual business that the finance committee does. Then we also had a very robust discussion of the new PAL contract, which will be on the agenda for us to vote on tonight. And council also, in its wisdom, sought to restore our council grant program in this fiscal year on a sort of funding it at a half of the full amount basis, awaiting developments with our contingency fund. And that funding of the council grant came out of an existing budget line in our contingency to allow council members to support worthy community causes and groups in their districts.
Thank you, Councilman Cartier, and for our political science class. Robust means we're going to hear more about it tonight. Councilman Powers and Councilman Tackett.
Yes, on November 1st at 1:30, we held a special service meeting. Paul Freese gave a presentation on cell towers and on county property. Wayne Merritt spoke with council as to the Lewis Redding City County building maintenance.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. President. On Tuesday, November 1st, the Land Use Committee met at 3 o'clock upstairs. We heard four resolutions, one for the AI DuPont Hospital, one for Bayberry, one for Meridian Crossing, and one to amend some deed restrictions at Governor Square.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Street?
Yes, Mr. President. The Public Safety Committee met today, and we discussed grant funding for 6 police officers. We also had some discussion about ATVs in communities, and especially on county property. And I seized the opportunity to express my concern about vicious dogs and their presence in strategic places.
Thank you, Councilman Street. Today we had an executive committee meeting at 4:30, conducted a couple interviews, and we discussed an ordinance which would be tabled, and we heard a presentation about the homeowner helpline, which is www.nccde.org.hal. So check it out. All right. Any other announcements from members of council? Seeing none, moving on to the consent calendar. Our consent calendar is used to pass matters in a group that have been determined to be non-controversial by the sponsor as communicated to the president or clerk. However, an item will be removed from the consent calendar upon a simple request from a council member or if public discussion is desired. I urge the public to speak up if there's a particular item of concern. Are there any items from the consent calendar which any council member wants removed? Councilman Cartier.
Yes, I'd like Resolution 11-168 removed from the consent calendar to be given special attention in the consideration of resolutions removed from consent calendar or other resolutions.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other item from the consent calendar any council member wants removed? Moving to the public. Is there anyone from the public who wishes an item, the one remaining item, to be removed from the consent calendar?
It's not on the consent.
Yeah, thank you. The only two items I have on the consent calendar in front of me are 11-167 and 11-168. All right, and 11-168 has been removed. Any other member of the public wishing to remove 11-167? Seeing none, is there a motion to approve the consent calendar?
So moved.
Second.
There's been a motion and a second to approve the consent calendar with item 1168 removed. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Madam Clerk, please proceed with the reading of the consent calendar.
Resolution 11-167, recognizing November as Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month in Newcastle County.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Please call the roll on the consent calendar.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Holmes?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13 yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. The consent calendar has been passed. Moving on to item G on the agenda, presentations. We know we have a presentation from Councilman Street.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd ask Mr. Jerry Wolf Westcott to come forward, please.
The resolution that just was approved on the consent calendar is in recognition of this council recognizing Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month for the month of November. And I'm not going to read all of it, but basically the resolution talks about the fact that there is no cure for pancreatic cancer. It does have an extraordinary effect on African Americans in particular. And whereas the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network is the first and only national patient advocacy organization that serves the pancreatic cancer community in Newcastle County and nationwide by focusing its efforts on public policy, research funding, patient service, public awareness, and education related to developing effective treatments and a cure for pancreatic cancer. And now, therefore, Newcastle County Council hereby designates the month of November as Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month and encourages residents to support the efforts in finding a cure. And I just want to say to you, Mr. Westcott, on behalf of council and to your organization, thank you very, very much for your concern, your work, and certainly this council support you and congressmen in that city of Wilmington is also coming forward with a proclamation or resolution, whatever the protocol is, supporting you in this very positive endeavor. So on behalf of council, thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your hard work. Thank you, Councilman Street. Moving on to item H on the agenda, consideration of resolutions moved to consent calendar and other resolutions. We have resolution 11-168, Councilman Cartier.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I'd like resolution 11-168 to be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution 11-168, honoring the memory of Wayne John Polari for outstanding service to the community and for lifetime achievements.
Thank you. Councilman Cartier.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. The Brandywine Hunter community is in the midst of losing people of a generation who served their countries in the Second World War. And this generation of people not only were displayed heroism in the midst of that, they also, later in life, were great contributors to the growth and development of their communities and were deeply involved in community improvement and working with young people. Such was the person, Juan Jane Polari. He passed away just recently. He was 86 years old, highly decorated in the from the Second World War in action in the Pacific in the U.S. Navy. He served his career, was highly educated, bachelor's degree in history, master degree in political science, received a doctorate in education from Temple University, and he served his career as a teacher in the, at that time, Mount Pleasant School District, over 30 years, and he was an active Democrat. He was a person who mentored young Democrats, and the Brandywine 100 was a perpetual candidate for office, cared deeply about his community, cared deeply about serving those who were less fortunate. He was on the board of the Camelot Boys Home. He helped in the establishment of the Edgemoor Community Center. And, you know, when people like this pass from the scene, it's a giant hole in the community. And I just want to take this moment to recognize Wayne Polari. He was a great person, funny, optimistic, and a real natural leader, and we will really deeply miss him.
Thank you, Councilman Cartier. Any member of council wishing to make comment on the resolution? Seeing none, open the floor to the public. Any member of the public wishing to comment on the subject matter of the resolution, please come forward at this time. Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on resolution 11-168.
Mr. Ball?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, roll call, yes, 13, yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 11-168 is approved. Moving on, resolution 11-169, Councilman Weiner.
Thank you, Mr. President. I ask that resolution 11-169 be read by title and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution 11-169, plan of AI DuPont Hospital for Children. Brandywine 100, southeast corner of Rockland Road and Powder Mill Road, down by Alapurkus Drive to the southwest. Construct a 465,000 square foot children's hospital expansion and 120,000 square foot parking garage on 314.98 acres ORSN. NC21 zoning.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. In addition to the title, this is a major record plan approval, which has the unanimous support of the civic community in the district in which I represent. It will provide one of the most world-renowned children's hospital the opportunity to provide single patient room for the family, and it was designed with careful input from the families and children to be user-friendly, if you can use that term, in connection with a hospital. But it will be a stunning glass interior with an atrium that will be used as a community center and for entertainment and a draw in our community.
Thank you, Councilman Weiner. Any member of council have any questions or comments on the subject matter of the resolution? Councilman Street.
Yes, Mr. President, I think I'd be remiss if I didn't express my sincere gratitude and appreciation for all the work that the hospital does. The fact of the matter is one of my children in daycare was in the hospital out there for several days, week before last, and you know, I'm grateful for the fact that she's back in daycare, but certainly the hospital serves not only people from around the world, but it takes extra good care of our children here, and I, for one, just truly appreciate that.
Thank you, Councilman. That's a sentiment I'm sure shared by all council members, know how important and valuable the AI DuPont Hospital is for the care of children both in Delaware and outside. Any other member of council wishing to make comment or question on this resolution? Seeing none, I'll open the floor to the public. Any member of the public wishing to speak on the subject matter of this resolution, please come forward at this time. Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Resolution 11-169.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13 yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 11-169 is approved. Moving on, Resolution 11-170. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that resolution number 11-170 be read by title only, placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution 11-170, plan of Bayberry Town Center, St. George's 100, north side of Boyd's Corner Road, east and west of Jameson Corner Road, develop a 559,204 square foot shopping center, offices, and athletic club, and realign Jameson Corner Road, CR zoning.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. This particular plan is before us this evening for major record plan approval. We had a detailed presentation by the applicant at our land use meeting this past week. I think that it's very safe to say in reviewing this plan and discussing the plan that this particular plan for the Bayberry Town Center is what smart growth is really about. It's a walkable, bikeable, transit-oriented development. It'll complement the Bayberry community and surrounding communities. The infrastructure that's not only in place today as far as fire rescue and emergency medical, park and rides are already in place, and roadway improvements will be made as the project proceeds. One of the interesting things that I think was presented with this plan is that it won't all be built out at one time. It'll be done in phases as the market demand is there, and be done in a very logical building process. Shopping, office, health use, possibly a YMCA, and even the offering of property for a county library. So I think it's a job that's very well done, and have no opposing views or any type of adverse comments that have been made to me. In fact, to the contrary, the Abiquimic School District has supported it and endorsed this project, as well as the Presbyterian Church across the street has also come forward at the meeting and at past meetings and supported the plan.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Does any member of council have any questions or comments? Seeing none, we'll open the floor to the public. Any member of the public wishing to speak on the subject of this resolution, please step forward at this time. Seeing none, we'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Resolution 11-170.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13 yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 11-170 is approved. Moving on, Resolution 11-171. Councilman Powers.
Thank you. I move that resolution 11171 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution 11171, plan of Meridian Crossing, Newcastle 100, southwest side of Lebanon Road, south of CSX Railway. Replace 43 single-family detached units with 82 single-family attached twin units on southern end of site, ST zoning.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Councilman Powers.
Yes. As was said at the committee meeting, this is something with 2 weeks ago we had deed restriction. It's changing 82 single-family homes into twins in Meridian Crossing.
Any member of council have any questions or comments on the subject matter of this resolution? Seeing none, I'll open the floor to the public. Any member of the public wishing to speak on the subject of this resolution, please come forward at this time. If you wish to speak on the subject matter, please step forward to the left. You're going to sign in on the sign-in sheet and then come to the podium, or you'll have 3 minutes to address council with a warning light going off in 30 seconds. We ask you to try not to be duplicative of other comments and refrain from personal attacks. Public comment is for the purpose of hearing your views on a specific issue, and council and executive staff are available should you have specific questions. Please state your name for the record.
Matt Lanzini. I'm actually a resident of Meridian Crossing, and I guess my question, more of a question than a statement at this point, was is this more of a question of the fact that it was deed restricted, or are there other underlying concerns such as infrastructure or questions about the quality of life? And I'm just trying to understand what the underlying issue was when it's all said and done. So I don't know if you can address that or...
Councilman Powers, do you want to call up the applicant?
Yeah, call the applicant.
Okay. Could the applicant, who is so prepared, please step forward and address some of the concern or question that we heard?
Which one does he think of?
For that one. I'm not sure what my name is, Ron Meisler, managing partner of Grable. I'm not really sure what your question is, other than the process tonight is going through and approving the record plans for recordation. Just to back up on the process, a year ago when there was a homeowner organization meeting, I brought up the fact we were doing this rezoning, alerted everybody to it. We then went through the exploratory process. There was a public hearing then, planning board hearing. It's been in front of county council twice now, and this is the third time. So it's just a procedural to get the record plan recorded. So you have, we've met all the infrastructure needs regarding sewer, water, school district, any capacity or storm water issues in Meridian Crossing. In fact, we're going to have to enlarge one of the basins to meet the current standards. So there shouldn't be any impact on you as a homeowner.
I appreciate it.
No problem at all.
So first I heard of it was today. So
right. Thank you for coming.
Any other questions, Mr. Heisler? Councilman Powers?
There's been a sign placed right on the property.
Yes, we have conformed to the county code, which requires us to put a beautiful yellow sign with the plan up, and we'll take it down tomorrow.
But, I mean, how long is... A lot of people don't read them.
Yeah, probably actually,
I'm just meaning it's probably worth stopping and looking.
Yeah.
You know, to see.
We did Meridian Crossing 2 first. There's actually been a sign up probably for the last year and a half.
Yeah. I'm just saying, if you ever see one of them, find out what it is, give us a call.
Not a problem. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Hurst. Any other questions, comments of the sponsor on Resolution 11171? Seeing none, I already opened the floor to the public. Any more comments from the public? Seeing none, we'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Resolution 11-171.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Dill?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call is 13. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 11-171 is approved. Moving on, Resolution 11-172, Councilman Smiley.
Yes, I request the Resolution R11-172 be read by title only and placed before Council for its consideration.
Second.
Resolution 11-172, to amend a declaration of restrictions for the property known as Governor Square Shopping Center, Phase 1, being tax parcel numbers 10039-00039. 043, 044, 045, and 047 to increase commercial space by 10,000 square feet.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Councilman Smiley.
Yes, it's important to note that this deed restriction change is associated with the current Governor Square Shopping Center where the Bear Library is located. A little while back, abruptly, the Safeway supermarket in that shopping center closed. The property owner quickly began an in-depth search in trying to replace this much-needed service in the shopping center. They were able to get the interest of a couple of supermarkets, one of which being one of the Kenny supermarket chain. At that time, the Safeway supermarket was 53,000 square feet. The ShopRite needed 63,000 to meet their needs. Although there was already 3,400 square feet of buildable space available, that still left them 6,400 some square feet short. So, in order to not lose the interest of ShopRite, they relocated a couple of tenants. They vacated 10,000 square feet of the shopping center space, which allowed them to move forward in an effort to meet ShopRite's timeline. So ShopRite has, their building has been under construction, under expansion. All is going well. What this deed restriction, which has been in existence for in excess of 20 years, will do will be to allow them to maintain and put tenants in the 10,000 square feet that already exist. Other than that, they're prepared to level those buildings. So they already have space there. They already had tenants in there. This will not result in increased traffic or anything like that. This is what the residents in the area, so far I haven't had any of them. All the communities are tickled to death, especially to have a Kenny ShopRite coming into the area. So.
Thank you, Councilman Smiley. In anticipation of questions that might be coming from the public, one of the things we discussed in committee was that this is it was a pre-UDC zoning, is that correct?
Yes, it was a pre-UDC zoning where the square footage was calculated differently than it is now.
And I believe, if my memory serves, that if the shopping center was going to be developed today, that the size of the parking is adequate for the expanded storefront.
Right. Needs no expanded parking or anything else. It meets all the requirements.
Okay. Any other member of council have questions, comments? Councilman Powers.
Yes. Last Wednesday I met with Glendale 2, which is right across the road, explained it. They love that the ShopRite is coming, and they couldn't understand why we'd be tearing the buildings down anyways.
Thank you, Councilman Powers. Any other member of council wishing to make comment or question about this resolution? See none, open the floor to the public. Please come in to my left, your right, sign in. Have a 3 minutes to address council on the subject matter of the resolution before us. And please state your name for the record.
Robert Willie. You actually answered the majority of my questions. The only two objections or comments that I have left would be I don't believe the minimum requirement for posting for a county council meeting has been met. if I remember correctly, it just was introduced to the Department of Land last Tuesday.
A councilman?
Yeah, I will speak.
Excuse me.
That's the normal procedure. It comes up before land use.
Okay.
The week before, however, it was on the website, and it was publicly noted and discussed at the planning board meeting. And as a matter of fact, it has received the land use and the planning board recommendations. So it has been duly noted as required.
Okay. So signing-wise, what's the requirements for the sign on the site?
It's not new construction. There's no signage. You don't need the big yellow signs.
For a deed restriction change?
Right. It's not a rezoning. It's not a new building plan or anything like that. It's an expansion.
Okay. And the second was just the traffic that you started to address. Per DelDOT, Route 7 that goes right beside there, has been identified as LOSF, which is greater than 100% capacity. You said that there's no additional traffic.
The square footage that this will leave has already had tenants in it prior to. So it's not new buildings. It's already had tenants in it. So any traffic that was coming there had already been coming there. The only thing that's changing is the supermarket is going to be bigger. The people that are going to shop at the supermarket, that shopped at the Safeway, will be shopping there. The people that are walking from Stone Mill, Cobblestones, Taylortown, they'll still be walking there to go to the supermarket. There's no new buildings going up. If you get a new building going up, then you're looking at the potential to increase traffic. There is no new building structures going up here.
But there is an existing empty building.
That it's empty because the tenants were relocated to another center.
So it goes by square footage?
Yeah.
Okay. And just the last thing, if I'm running out of time here. The expansion was about 10,000 square foot, correct?
Yeah, approximately.
Okay, which takes it above the deed restrictions as it is now, correct?
That's why we're lifting the deed restrictions. But they were able to begin the building because they vacated an equivalent need of square footage.
So being vacant is fine as long, I mean, it.
That allowed them to move. That allowed them to move forward with the construction.
Okay.
There's no certificate of occupancy. If they don't get, if we don't pass this, then in order to get the certificate of occupancy for the ShopRite, they would have to tear down the other square footage.
Okay.
Councilman Powers.
Just to answer, what was different is before they took inside the walls the square footage.
Right.
Now it goes to the outside. So they lost footage out of the block walls.
Right.
Because how we look at it now through the UDC is different than what it was looked at past, you know, in the past.
So that the expansion itself is?
It's not calculated the same way it was
right
20-some years ago.
Used to do inside now.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments, members of council? Councilman Cardia.
I think the point needs to be made also that, you know, in these older plans prior to Unified Development Code, and I don't know if Dave Culver will want to comment on this or not, but my understanding is that, you know, the way to basically limit the intensity of development or to get other features in a record plan approval was to have deed restrictions that ran to the county. So this is an old plan with deed restrictions running to the county. That's why we're here addressing this evening, because there is a you know, small change in the square footage that's calculated for the new supermarket as opposed to the old. So where today I think they would probably go through a re-subdivision process perhaps to make a change. Now we have to, with an old plan, go back and look at deed restrictions.
Thank you, Councilman Cardi. Mr. Culver, would you care to clarify or agree with that
Did
statement?
Did I call you? Council spoke, the public spoke, now we're back to council again. All yours.
Thank you. Good evening, David Culver, General Manager, Department of Land Use. I think Councilman Cardi sums up pretty accurately Most of the old code rezonings were associated with deed restrictions, and when we do come across these changes, they do have to go through the process. In this case, it's a deed restriction change, which was duly noted and heard by the planning board with a recommendation sent to the county council.
Any other questions for Mr. Culver before we excuse him again? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Culver. Any other questions, comments, members of council? Any other questions, comments, members of the public? Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Resolution 11-172.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Dare?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kropotkin?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Weta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13 yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 11-172 is approved. Moving on, Resolution 11-173, Councilman Cartier.
Yes, I'd like Resolution number 11-173 read by title only and placed before Council for its consideration and adoption.
Second. Resolution 11-173, approving the refund of taxes paid in error.
Councilman Cartier.
Yes, as I made a comment earlier in the committee report, you know, this committee deals with refund of taxes paid in error as a common kind of order of business. What we have in this ordinance this evening, in this resolution this evening, are two subject properties, Star Building LLC in Wilmington. That is an amount that we are refunding that is school taxes, and it has to do with the Wilmington tax incentive program that Newcastle County participates in to incentivize investment in Wilmington. The other property, on Woodlawn Avenue, 1900 Woodlawn Avenue, CoreLogic, we have a duplicate payment in the amount of $5,157.43 that we're going to refund as paid in error.
Thank you, Councilman Cartier. Any questions, comments, members of council? Seeing none, open the floor to the public for comment. Anyone wishing to speak on the subject of this resolution, please come forward at this time. Seeing none, Madam, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Resolution 11-173.
Mr. Ball?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kropotkin?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Weta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13 yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 11-173 is approved. Moving on, Resolution 11-174, Councilman Cartier.
Yes, another resolution that's a matter of business for finance. We have a refund of a sewer charge. Basically, the understanding is that it was a water count that this particular business did not own or did not pay on, but they paid us a sewer bill in error.
Councilman,
yes.
I'm sorry, could I interrupt? We got started on the heart of it. We probably should move it, move to have it read in by title only. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Resolution number 11-174, I'd like to read by title only and place before council. It's consideration and adoption.
Second. Resolution 11-174, approving the refund of sewer services. Sewer services charges paid in error.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Councilman Cartier. Back to you.
Colonial Construction had a water line that they were not paying on, but they paid us sewer taxes on that, and we're refunding that to them. And both these resolutions we're considering were approved by our finance department.
Thank you, Councilman. Any member of council have any questions or comments on this resolution? Seeing none, open the floor to the public. Any member of the public wishing to speak on the subject of this resolution, please come forward at this time. Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Resolution 11-174.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kropotkin?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Weta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call is 13 yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 11-174 is approved. Moving on, Resolution 11-175, Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Resolution 11-175 be read by title only and placed before Council for consideration.
Second.
Resolution 11-175, designating certain areas of Newcastle County as rural areas eligible for use of qualified energy conservation bonds in the form of private activity bonds pursuant to the Internal Revenue Code of 1986.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. These bonds came from the 2010 stimulus package to Newcastle County. They are for energy generation in rural areas. The definition of rural area does not come associated with these bonds, and it is up to the local jurisdiction to define what that area is, and that is what this resolution does.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Any members of council have questions or comments on this resolution? Councilman Reda.
Thank you. I'd just like to add, too, that the amount of this is $5 million, a little over $5 million, and the energy conservation bond part of it will be $1,600,000 and changed. So that will be going towards the bonds in the conduit form.
Any other questions, comments, members of council? Seeing none, open the floor to the public. Any member of the public wishing to speak on the subject of this resolution, please step forward at this time. Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Resolution 11-175.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kerbach?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon? Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call bill is 12 yes, 1 absent.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 11-175 is approved. Moving on, Resolution 11-176. Councilman Street.
Yes, Mr. President, I move that Resolution 11-176 be read by title only and placed before Council for its consideration and adoption.
Resolution 11-176, authorizing the County Executive to execute two amendments to the agreements between Newcastle County and the Police Athletic League of Delaware.
Councilman Street.
Yes, Mr. President. This resolution and the proposed agreements is one that has been negotiated over a fairly lengthy period of time between the administration and the officials of PAL, and you know, they were asked by this council to come back with an agreement. They have done just that. They did negotiate. There is an agreement, and the recommendation and the proposed agreements are here for our consideration tonight.
Thank you, Councilman Street. Any members of council wishing to make comment or have questions on the subject matter of this resolution, please do so at this time. Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. President. First off, I'm going to state before I make my comments that I have decided to support this tonight. The underlying fact is the kids here. However, I think as far as I go in my vote in future issues of this, I'm putting PAL and the administration on notice that there are some major questions that have to be answered and addressed. And if not, there's a potential showdown on the horizon. I think there's some major issues going on. I know there's problems on both sides. They have to be worked through and addressed, obviously. But ultimately tonight, it's about the kids. It's keeping these programs running, and it's keeping the kids occupied and the youth. I think there's two things potentially, or most of the time when you go out to fundraise, that people will always give to, and it's animals and it's the youth. And I think there's a huge void here that's not being filled by that fundraising effort, and it's just one that we're going to have to address, and it's going to be on the horizon at some point. I understand from PAL that they are taking a lot of issues, they are going to try some different stuff, and they are going to try to get a new direction, and that's I highly commend them for that. But per se, you know, they're going to have to put the proof behind them and show us before this comes back for again.
Thank you, Councilman Tackett. I'd like to add my comments. We talked about this in committee, and let me just say I think that the new general manager really spent a lot of time. I know a lot of time, a lot of personal effort. He spent a lot of time educating me on the issue. I bugged him quite a lot because I was very concerned about this issue. He's nodding his head in the back. You know, this is an issue, I think, that the general manager tried to be fair and go back and correct some deficiencies in rent that didn't have a rent escalator that was paid. All county contracts that I'm aware of had rent escalators. For whatever reason, this one did not. So I think he's done his best job to make sure that this rent going forward was fair. My concern, and I expressed it in council meeting, is us as a council not adjusting the rent going forward, but making these immediate payments for correcting back issues of close to $100,000 without specific milestones attached to them. And that's where my concern comes in. I'm very uncomfortable. We met some new members of the board with promises to be a reformed board, but without those milestones and accomplishments, I can't support the granting of that close to $100,000 to Powell. Any other council member of comments? Councilman Sheldon?
Yeah, I just, again, I want to put this in perspective. I mean, this is about rent. This is not a bailout. If we don't want to pay into this building, then we leave the building, the county. That PAL, we leave it. And I think it just gets confused over and over again that it's something like, I mean, I'm getting emails, do not bail out PAL. Well, we're not. We're actually just paying our bills. And if we didn't pay the bills with the escalators, then we're the ones that should be leaving and thrown out. So I just wanted to bring that up again. And look, nobody's brought this before Council Moore and I, that sooner or later we should be leaving this building and giving them the aspect to do this with the space they have to get more rent than what we're paying. And that's what I want to see. I think it's more on us just as much as it is on PAL. So we have to come up with conclusions, I think, on our end, than as much as PAL can. And we did meet new members at the board, and we've seen changes, as I said, in the past 2 days that were milestones as far as I'm concerned. So I think it's looking up, but the proof is in the pudding. I agree with it. But we also have to come back at due diligence next budget cycle and to see how much space we're going to rent and how many programs we really need. Are we doing what we're supposed to do? Or can we give that to PAL? Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Sheldon. Councilwoman Kirkpatrick?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have to agree with Councilman Sheldon. This is a rent issue. PAL built the building basically with state money and with money that they got from private foundations. The donation was from the county to let them use the land. At this point, it was land that was unusable. It was on the side of the hill. There was a small baseball field at the bottom of the hill, and that's all that the county was utilizing. So it was land that was sitting vacant, although owned by Newcastle County. Basically, they entered into this many years ago, 10 years ago probably now, as a land lease situation. $3.2 million came over from the state to help them build this building. They raised the additional amount through private funding through foundations such as Longwood Foundation. The county did build one portion of PAL. The left-hand side, as you walk in, was designated as a senior center. They wanted to be able to run a senior center out of that area. That many years ago, we ran demographics on where we were taking in children and where we were taking in seniors in the county. And when we ran those numbers, we found that Mid-County Senior Center down near Milltown Road and Route 7 was the only senior center in this whole area until you got to the city of Newark. And it was even worse when we looked at where children had places to go. Once we moved in there, there were designated areas as to what was the county's, what was the PAL's, and what areas were going to be joined. Over the years, the county realized that they could walk out of their contracts with the school districts and use the PAL space. Little by little, they continued to take over more and more of the PAL space. Space that PAL would have been able to rent out, make money off of, or utilize for their own programs. That has been gone from them for years and years. 3 years ago, I know that President Paul Clark at that point asked the county to run the data, which is what General Manager Henry has done at this point. It took him 3 years, and he eventually moved on to another position, still never got the data out of that department. We now have that. We know what fair market is. We know that we cannot go back to the schools and run our teen and adult programs out of there. The schools do not want us. It's too expensive for them to house county programs within their schools. We will be paying about 30% more out of our budget, our county budget, if we had to pay the lease to the school districts and to any other auxiliary area that had gym space for us to rent. So this right now is something where I believe we have moved from a horrible situation where PAL was in a holding pattern because the county wouldn't budge, to an area where we have now negotiated new agreements with them. We have a place for the county to run their programs. We have time slots for PAL to run their programs and or rent out the space as they see fit. This is a rental situation. This is not a bailout for PAL. We reduced their rent. What I'm understanding was either unethical or illegal when we did it. We had no right to do that. The county took over more space and reduced the rent that they were paying. We did pay that rent back. This is part of what we're looking at within this resolution. So this is an area where we rent, and as Councilman Sheldon said, if we don't want to be there and we don't want to pay the rent, as we pay rent to other private entities and school districts for library space, etc., if we don't want to do that, then the county needs to find another place to hold their programs.
Thank you, Councilman Kabater. Councilman Cartier?
Yes. I recognize that the PAL-Newcastle County Partnership is a critical partnership in serving kids. And, I went into the committee meeting today with some serious concerns about board governance and several other concerns. I'll tell you that, throughout the committee meeting with a very detailed exchange from all sides, I had a lot of my concerns allayed. I want to recognize the hard work by our community services division manager, Marcus Henry, to bring these issues to negotiated settlement with proper terms. I also want to recognize leadership of Councilman Sheldon in areas concerning the PAL board. And I think with these kind of things in place, recognizing the important service that both Garfield and Hokes and PAL give to our communities with, youth activities, I'm going to support this tonight.
Thank you, Councilman Cartier. Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just to join Councilman Kilpatrick with a little bit of a history of PAL here in Newcastle County. The PAL Center in Garfield Park, over 15 years old now, when that location was decided, I think that PAL had an option to go almost any place in Newcastle County because everyone wanted to have a PAL, recognizing the value of PAL. The county wanted to have a PAL simply because we would have a place for a central location for all of the programs that we offer for the kids, and now we've expanded that with adult activity centers to also help programming for adults as well as senior centers. So the relationship with PAL, and when people say in Newcastle County that this is a bailout, it's just really strange to me that misinformation continue to get much farther than the facts here in this county. And quite frankly, I think some of it is deliberate because misinformation is being planted. The fact of the matter is, this is not a bailout. We are leasing space from the PAL Center. The relationship that Newcastle County has with PAL, PAL is not a subordinate part of this government. We do not dictate to PAL. PAL is its own entity. The history and all of the language and the law that put this relationship together is a matter of fact. So Newcastle kind of doesn't have the options that most people assume that we have. Most people assume that we can tell PAL what to do. People assume that we appoint people to the board. We don't do that any more than we do with the contracted libraries. We fund them. It's a needed service to the citizens of this county. The PAL centers go a very long way in improving the quality of life with people in this county. We don't go into Wilmington and say that we're going to run the Wilmington, for instance, to the library. We fund that library. People call me all the time because they have a concern about the hours, but that is not our privilege to do that, no more than it is with PAL. So this whole sense that people are saying that, well, somehow we can tell PAL to do this, we can tell PAL to do that, what we have done, we've asked our general manager, which he has responded. Over 9 months, he has gone and worked with PAL, worked with the programs that we provide for adults and children, for children at risk in particular, and he's come back with an agreement that we have before us now. And all the things that I'm hearing now, we all as council members had an opportunity to answer or ask at least over the last 9 months that the general manager was putting this whole agreement together. And furthermore, these particular concerns didn't just raise themselves in the last 9 months. We have gone back over the years, as Councilwoman Kilpatrick had mentioned, so this is not a new issue. What's new to me is seemingly that council members seem to forget, or they don't have the willingness to do, some council members, what is absolutely right, what is absolutely necessary, and clogging this up with a whole bunch of personal relationships and personal politics that, to me, I just can't understand it. If you look at the benefits to this county government, to having central locations for our activities, places that people know the designation, how to get there. If we didn't do that, does anybody even give any consideration or concern on how we would actually run our programs, how people would find them, the cost it would be for this county to have different personnel at different locations throughout the county? Can we first even find the space? If you listen to what the general manager has said to us, after doing this work over the last 9 months, the space is not available in Newcastle County to take on our programs. Our programs become at risk. There are those who feel that, well, we can just walk away from PAL and go where? If PAL fails, we fail. There's no benefit to anyone, including Newcastle County government, if PAL were to fail. If PAL were to fail, if we were not the tenant in PAL, and PAL were to fail, then those buildings would resort back to Newcastle County. What would we do with those buildings at that point? What would our real options be? So the little bit of information that a lot of people seem to have is just enough to have them misinformed and have this council make a very bad decision. The budget that people now talk about is a bailout. We've already approved. There's no additional monies coming from Newcastle County taxpayers simply because we have reached this agreement. The common sense thing to do is continue what Newcastle County started years ago with the idea of concentrating our programs to make them more accessible to the people that we serve, in particular to benefit with programs those youth who are at risk, those kids who may otherwise find themselves in the criminal justice system, and then we would be building more prisons at a much higher rate and have more detriment to society, and I do not believe that's the direction that this council wants to promote.
Thank you, Councilman Hollins. Councilwoman Kilpatrick and Councilman Street.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to make one comment that this council, several months ago, tasked the general manager to do this. We asked him to look at the data. We asked him to work with PAL to draw up another agreement. We tasked him to do that, and now to think that we should turn around and say, thanks for all your hard work and for doing a really great job, but we're going to turn it down because we don't think you've gone quite far enough. He went as far as he could go with the information that he has. The next step, this is a 24-month agreement. We know that they're going to be looked at, and we're going to get quarterly reports. I don't know how much more of a benchmark we can have other than to come in after a quarter and say, this is what's been done or not done, and we can give them another benchmark after that. Or we can say, wait a minute, this is a disaster. It's never going to work, and we have the option then of pulling back.
Thank you, Councilwoman Kilpatrick. Councilman Street.
Yes, Mr. President, thank you. As I was contemplating in my head as to how to respond to what I read in the public press on Saturday, my first inclination was basically to empty the PAL Center and have all the kids come in and make their presence known. As I thought about that, it's not fair. I didn't think that request was fair to the kids, because the only thing the kids should have to do is go to school every day, go enjoy the center, go enjoy the services, and behave themselves. I also thought about calling on my civic association presidents and asking them to come in here and do all those things, but then I said to myself, that's not fair, because I ran out there and I asked all of them to vote for me, consider me as a councilman. They gave me the job. And as opposed to calling them and calling the community to arms prematurely, that I should first come in here and do my job. I am truly grateful for those of you who have, in your comments thus far, indicated that you're going to support this. And I as much as anybody in the room. I want any nonprofit agency that we support, whether it's in my district or in somebody else's district, I want them to do all that they can to responsibly run a good agency. However, I think everybody should be aware that this is a difficult financial time for everyone. The nonprofit I work at, the nonprofits that I'm familiar with, we all have, at this point, substantive financial challenges. And, you know, nobody is going to walk away from this financial climate unscathed. I also think that while Councilman Kirkpatrick and Councilman Hollins, they know the history of the PAL and its genesis and what transpired far better than I do, but I'm well aware of the community. And as we do zonings, rezonings, we look at, there's always a conversation about neighborhood stability. I'm going to go back to 1970s when there was a Delaware school district. And the Delaware school district, particularly the Delaware High School, had championship basketball teams, did all the things that all of our high schools historically and traditionally did to promote self-esteem and give people and community around it a good positive feeling. Now come the court order, and supposedly we won the lawsuit, but at the end of the day, I have always felt like we won the battle and lost the war, because almost instantly overnight, the Dunley School, which had a rich history of success in the community, was closed. It's now Stewart Center. Almost instantly, the Rose Hill School was closed. It's now a community center, but it too has financial challenges. Almost instantly, the Meekwadale School was closed, and it is now, where our former police station is, and of course, it's where our public safety building is now. The only stability that was left, and on top of that, the most egregious thing in my mind, as far as I'm concerned, is they closed the high school. And so now we leave a community, when you take away schools, you diminish the infrastructure, and you expect that community to be stable. It's not going to happen. So the former administration had the wherewithal, had the wisdom, had the vision to say, we need to do something different above and beyond. And in order to make that happen politically, the wisdom and the thought was, well, if I put one in Garfield Park and I put one in Hocassin, nobody shall protest. And down the road we had business. Promises were made to community adults that there would be certain things that transpired, and they have transpired. Now, on one part of my district, I had a brand new library. And that was put together before I got in office. I've had a responsibility of working with the Friends of Woodlawn and others to maintain it. But on the other side of my district, the only library is the lending room and the power center. And I say all that to say, fundamental fairness warrants that, yes, we hold folks accountable, but by the same token, we don't deprive children or seniors of services and take away the little stability that's left in that neighborhood because of somebody's political and personal disdain for whoever. You don't just make that situation, don't let anybody come forward and use personal vendettas to the detriment of anybody's children. And it's not going to happen to my children without me screaming foul, unfairness, all over the place, and whoever does that, they may very well prevail, but nobody's ever going to come through my district and try to make political gain again off the backs of my children and walk away unscathed. It's not going to happen.
Thank you, Councilman Street. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think it's been mentioned on several occasions, but as I mentioned upstairs in committee today, that contracts with the county often and do have cost increases, factors that are put in these contracts. The Abiquinimic Library in the Petnera Building in Middletown, over the last 4 years, under community services, recognize those increases for the cost of rent for that particular facility for us to have a library. On the other hand, the Powell Center did not receive these increases in the cost of rent. They were asked to give money back. When we talk about fundamental fairness, I don't think that that's fundamentally fair to take the Powell Centers, who continue to provide leadership, training, mentoring, after-school programs, and organized sports programs to many youth in our areas of Newcastle County that would not have the opportunity to participate without Powell. As Councilwoman Kilpatrick said, this council, we're the ones that asked the administration and community services to go to work on this several months back. We're very fortunate today to have Marcus Henry as our manager of community services. He has reached out, he has had an open line of communication, and he has accomplished exactly what needed to be done, and that is to amend the contract over the next couple years to build in these increased cost factors so we can continue these vital services to the children and to our communities.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Any other questions, comments, members of council? Seeing none, to open the floor to the public. Anyone wishing to speak forward on the subject, please sign in and come forward. You'll have 3 minutes to speak. Again, I'll remind you, you'll have a yellow light when 30 seconds are remaining. Ask them please not to be duplicative of previous comments and refrain from any personal attacks. Public comment is for the purpose of hearing your views on a specific issue and is not the appropriate forum for questions and answer sessions. Council and the executive staff are available should you have specific questions. When you come up, please state your name for the record and then begin your comments.
Thank you. My name is Dave Bailey, and I'm a taxpayer from Bear. And frankly, after reading the article that was published this weekend, which was referred to earlier tonight, and hearing the words that were spoken, I am, as a taxpayer, just appalled. Basically, what I've heard is that Powell is an organization that's independent. The county can't control it. And yet the county is responsible for keeping Powell from failing. With that, when you put those two things together, essentially what that means is the county has to write a blank check for whatever Powell does, no matter how poorly it's managed. And it is managed poorly. I've looked at the financials. It is very distressing. And so, again, as we've heard, we can't control them, but we're obligated to finance them? I mean, that's crazy. And as a taxpayer, that is very distressing. The other thing that I heard tonight is basically it's being portrayed as a hostage situation. Give Powell whatever money they want, or else the kids go to jail. Okay? What is that? I mean, really? I mean, as a taxpayer, this is not fair. Think about this. If the YMCA or the Boys Club, whose missions are very, very similar to Powell's, ran into financial troubles because of mismanagement, would the county be responsible for making sure that they don't fail? The other part of it is, I look in the, when it comes to the ownership of the property, you know, we talk about independence. Independence? I see sweetheart deals all over the place. Since when does any organization lease land for $1 a year? I mean, I'll tell you, the last time I got something for $1 that was of substantial size, it's when my dad sold me the old family car. This is not what you do with an independent organization. And so what I see is a whole lot of intermingling, a whole lot of confusion. There's even confusion as to who owns the property. I mean, if the county owns the land and has actually built part of the structure, and the state has largely financed the rest of the structure, which, by the way, is all taxpayer money. To me, the taxpayer, it doesn't matter where the taxes go to the county or the state. It's all my tax money, okay? To then, after essentially funding the building, to think that the county has to pay for it, to rent space in it, it's crazy. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
Hold on for a second.
Mr. President,
I'm sorry, Councilman, I did not look up for comments.
No problem, but there was a comment that I made that was referenced about kids going to jail.
Please, Councilman, please.
The fact of the matter is, a kid doesn't necessarily go to jail because they don't have access to a PAL, but it's been proven that PAL serves as a deterrent, not only here in Newcastle County, but across this country. PAL has very unique relationships with government, not just here, but across the country.
And the same can be said for the YMCA.
We did not have the relationship with the YMCA. We have the relationship with PAL, and the YMCA is not part of the discussion tonight, neither is the Boys and Girls Club. They do not have the capacity to give us what we're looking for our programs. They have their programs. Secondly, the point about us controlling PAL, we don't control contracts that we have. We have a contract with the city of Wilmington to treat the wastewater from Newcastle County residents. That does not mean because we have that contract that somehow we control the city of Wilmington or do we control the wastewater treatment plant. And the similar thing exists if we were to get out of the wastewater treatment with the city of Wilmington for Newcastle County residents, it would fail. So you're suggesting that we go and build another wastewater treatment plant because we don't control it? I think if you were to understand a little bit better about this relationship and how it happened and with the state code, what it really means to us and the people we serve, I think you'd be better prepared to make an argument of your feelings. And your feelings doesn't necessarily have to agree with mine, but the fact of the matter is you're missing a whole lot that's going on here, and that's unfortunate.
Councilman Street?
There's nothing in any of the records that I've seen that indicate mismanagement, impropriety, theft, or anything pertaining thereto. The fact of the matter is like a lot of nonprofits, the agency, PAL, is fiscally challenged. And for those of you who want to raise the Boys and Girls Club as being the stellar this and the stellar that and the epitome of this and the epitome of that, well, they're fiscally challenged too. And so the Boys and Girls Club and the city portion of my council district is now closed, build it up. So, you know, that decision was made by the Boys Club and, you know, that there are consequences to the community accordingly. And as long as I'm a council person representing that district, then I am going to continue to advocate for those services. And as far as being held hostage, who's being held hostage are children in the city of Wilmington who never get to leave the city, never get to interact with people from all walks of life under the so-called Neighborhood School Act, which is actually the Resegregation Act, and the children around that PAL center who never get to leave now under the Neighborhood School Act, which is actually the Resegregation Act. They never get to leave that area until they go to high school. They never have the opportunity to interact with people from other walks of life. And they were put in those high poverty, resegregated schools with no additional resources. And now that folks want to cry foul about them getting some small benefit from a community center, community agency via PAL. And what I am appalled about is the fact that any time in the 7 years that I've been here, that any administration, be it this one or the previous one, has successfully negotiated a contract, it has never been an hour, hour and a half of discussion in a committee meeting, and then another hour of discussion at a regular council meeting. Never. But the contract that we're talking about tonight is the least expensive of all those contracts that's been negotiated. And who does it impact? It impacts primarily and foremost folks of color, children of color. So if y'all have a problem with us advocating for that, that's just your problem.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. Understanding that this is not a normal negotiation, nonprofits get funding through the state. They get funding through, have previously gotten funding through the county. Grants are given to nonprofits from government all the time. The intervening factor here is that when we built this PAL Center in Hokesson and also the one in Garfield Park, you go to the National PAL Association. You ask for the authority to build a PAL Center. You don't just say, oh, I want a PAL Center, and then you put up a building. You go through an authorization from the National PAL. You do it because it's cops. The cops were county cops. We didn't build this for the state police. We built this for the county. So there is the factor here that we are the county. It's on county land. It's county cops. It's cops and kids. That's the purpose of PAL. That's the mentoring process that we go through. So is it a little different? Yes, it is. It's not a normal nonprofit. It's not the American Cancer Society that has no relationship to Newcastle County at all. It was built for our police.
May I respond?
Can I make just one more comment?
And I appreciate the fact that you have an interest in this. And I would also make you aware that we are changing the PAL board. The PAL board's changing themselves, basically. We have an interim president as of today. They are looking for new members. And if you have an interest in PAL, no matter what that interest is, I certainly would encourage you to contact them and think about being on the board. It's one board, Garfield Park, Hokesson, one executive director.
30 seconds.
Please.
Thank you. The primary point that I was making is if you're going to fund it, you have to be able to control it. And if you can't control it, don't put yourself on the hook for funding it, because it's just like having a teenage kid whose bills you have to pay. I think everybody understands that.
Well, thank you. We appreciate the views that you've expressed here tonight. Thank you.
With that logic,
Mr. President, I guess we would not fund any of the contracted libraries that we have throughout Newcastle County and the city of Wilmington. We don't control them.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilwoman Kilpatrick, then Councilman Powers.
Just very quickly, we're funding programs for Newcastle County in a PAL building. We rent space. We don't have anything to do with PAL itself as far as this agreement goes. Our agreement is to rent space from PAL, just as we rent space from Petnero to put a library, just as we rent space from Brandywine School District to run a program. We're renting the building. It has nothing to do with the nonprofit organization.
Right.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Councilman Powers?
Just one thing that was said earlier about a dollar-a-year lease. We have quite a few dollar-a-year leases, especially with sports leagues, on a lot of our properties.
Yes.
So it is done a lot with the county. It's also done with the state, to take, especially when it involves children.
Councilman Sheldon, do you have
I guess it was the article, because I thought I tried it. Well, the best I could articulate something, I guess. But we're renting space. We're not bailing. I think the bailout, we did. We did that back 8-9 months ago, whenever it was, with the DP&L bill. That's a fact.
We're renting.
Correct. But I think the ordinance tonight, I think, is misconstrued, and I know it upsets me to sit here and everybody saying you're bailing out PAL. We're renting from PAL. I sit on the board of directors of the YMCA. We wanted to rent there. We needed all three basketball courts. We couldn't do it because the county had their programs there. We were the obstacle to PAL. And you have to hear that, and, you know, you have to get interviewed and be told the truth. And I think this is where the problem comes in. I don't blame the people in the audience, because if you don't understand something and you're misconstrued, then that's the way it's going to be. And it's going to be tough no matter how much we speak on it. But again, we have, I personally, as like I said, not as a councilman, as a board of director of the YMCA, try to get space because we needed it, and we could not do it. We went back to the Red Clay School District because we needed all three at the same time for supervision. we are kind of like the problem. It's not PAL, it's both together, but we are contributing to this factor. And like I said, after this is done, then we've got to come up with a different area, or we got to build a building, or we got to get out of the program business completely. We got three options ourselves in 2 years. That's when the discussion should be happening next on this. So that's all I'm going to say the rest of the night, because I'm not changing anybody's mind. If you really think we're bailing out, then you really think we are. If you think we're renting space, then I guess you got the article right on that one.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Street?
In my comments, I forgot to talk about the dollar. Once upon a time, in the 1000 block of West 6th Street, there was a county ambulance station. Hilltop Lutheran Neighborhood Center, where I'm proudly the executive director, bought that ambulance station from the county for $1. Subsequently, we put $4.5 million worth of additions on it. And the day as we speak, there's $1 million worth of jobs. So I think it was a dollar well invested. And at the end of the day, taxpayers, our folks start ending up paying taxes, contributing, and I think that speaks for itself about where a dollar is beneficial and where it may not be beneficial.
Thank you, Councilman Street. Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, I think we've wandered into a discussion probably for another day here, as tonight this is an issue about the children and PAL and the continuation and keeping it rolling. There's a lot of questions that have to be answered. We've heard fellow council members mention about rent, but yet we have a opinion from our council attorney and a council county auditor that we own the building. Why are we paying rent in the building we own? I mean, there's a lot of questions that have to be answered, but not tonight. Tonight we need to move forward. We need to take care of this resolution. We need to secure what needs to be done for the kids. We need to commend General Manager Henry for all the work that he's done. He went out. He did what we asked him to do. He brought it back. There's still other issues that have to be addressed, but they're going to have to be addressed on another day. As I said earlier, as far as I'm concerned, they will be addressed. We will get some answers, or there will be a showdown in the future. But tonight we have to move.
Thank you, Councilman. I'd like to, if we could, finish with the public comments, unless it's something more on the other public comments. Councilman Tackett, I didn't want to cut you off. Are you finished? Okay, good. Please come forward, state your name for the record, and then provide your 3 minutes of comments.
I'm hoping everyone can see me. Good evening, everyone.
Just stand up, please.
George is my friend. Good evening, everyone. My name is Lee Jarman, and I'm a prior Newcastle County employee. And the department that I worked in was Special Services. One of my responsibilities was to oversee all of the leases that Newcastle County had for the real estate. I am very much familiar with the old PAL lease agreement. And I know what's in that agreement, and I thought it was a good agreement. And I understand that it has been revised, and I haven't seen the revision yet. I also live in this community that everyone is talking about. And I know a lot of the children who go to the PAL Center. And some of those kids I've known since they were small children. And I know each day there's about 150 or maybe more kids who go to that center for educational reasons, to be trained, to make sure they understand that they must obey the law, to be tutored as far as math is concerned, reading. I was there when PAL was first thought about, and I was contacted and asked if I thought it would be a good choice for our neighborhood. And I said yes, because I understood the value that it would bring. I also understand the value that police officers bring. Police officers are competent, and they are committed, and they are congruent to what our needs are in the community. And I'm just impressed by what the current staff is doing there at this particular time. And I've heard over and over about money. And I don't know if you could put a value on children. And I know that some of you may cry at night if you have children or no children that aren't doing that well. And I am just tired of crying and thinking about the youngsters in my community. Because it seems as though when we take a step forward, someone tries to push us back. And we cannot allow that to happen in the community. Now, I'm also the president of the Civic Association there. And I hadn't planned to come here, but my wife said to me, we were leaving the meeting, NAACP meeting. We were talking about how we can keep the 16-year-olds in school from dropping out because we know we've got a problem. And now I come here just to help you understand the value that PAL gives our children in terms of education. I'm going to be obedient. The last thing I'll say is that good-hearted people, clear-thinking people, good counsel people, and some of you I know, most of you I know personally, and I'm just asking you to do the right thing. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next person, please step forward and state your name for the record.
Good evening. My name's Linda Bailey. I am a member of the Audit Committee, but I am basically speaking as a citizen, as a person who has seen the audit report, and also as a member of the 7 and 40 Alliance, Civic Umbrella Group, and also I have also an accountant, so I do know something about finances, and I just wanted to share a couple of my thoughts. I've heard that this is, got confused hearing a couple of the conversations, because on one hand, I hear it's about rent. That seems to make sense to me. But then I hear, well, we're tied to PAL. That makes sense. Obviously, I'm civic-minded. I care about children. Last thing we want to do is hurt the children. But I think we also need to be efficient with our funds. And actually, the one thing I did bring, 13 copies, I don't know how, of the report. This is the Police Athletic League's tax return. So I wanted people to kind of to see that, because I think that kind of backs up and supports what was mentioned in the audit report. And also, apparently we were tasked, you know, the county tasked the general manager to look at this lease, and at the same time the audit committee was given a task. And it seems to me that until some of the audit committee questions have been answered, you may want to defer taking a look at this lease. I think the report raised several good questions. And actually, even just looking at the resolution today, I would tend to question why the payments are going directly to Delmarva Power. To me, if we trust this group, PAL, we think they're fiscally responsible, the county payment should go to them. One, to me, that sounds like an accounting nightmare. We're making the payment to Delmarva, so is that going to show up in the county's expenses as an electric bill? We're paying, I just wasn't sure how that's all going to work. But to me, that seems strange that it's going to Delmarva if we believe PAL's doing really well. I'm getting back to the tax return that you now have. If I had said that, and getting to the point that we care about PAL, we're associated with PAL, we want to help PAL, because I've also heard those comments. For the year, this is a fiscal year return, so for June 30th, 2010, they had a $201,000 loss. That's, if I would tell you that I am asking for a grant, and I'm going to run a program for kids, and oh, by the way, my expenses are going to be 125% of my income and my fundraising, and I'm going to do a little slight bit of fundraising. I think you would kind of question that, and I hope you're looking at it as a finance and as a steward of the taxpayers' funds, too.
Thank you. We have a question, Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, I promised I wasn't going to speak, so this will be the first promise of my life I ever broke. Ms. Bailey, I just want to bring a couple things to the front. Number one, I believe the, I'm not saying for sure because I wasn't involved, but I believe part of the arrangement that we're making the power payments directly, which will be in lieu of our rentals, is to, quite honestly, I believe, to give a certain comfort level to some members of council, because that's part of, that was part of the big issue that came forward, was the fact that the Delmarva Power had not been paid. What the audit report didn't show, if it's an audit report, I don't know that I would call it an audit report, and what the paper didn't show was how since 2007, the executive branch arbitrarily reduced the fees that they paid to rent the space for the programs, which in my opinion, and I'm not an attorney, were in violation of the contract. Not only did they arbitrarily reduce the amount they paid for rentals to have programs there, but they pick and chose the best times that they wanted it.
And that, I agree, that wouldn't be appropriate.
And there were, I happen to know for a fact, there were times that that PAL Center started a program that would be a moneymaker, only to have certain members of the county administration come in with a competing program and undercut the cost, thereby driving PAL out of that revenue stream. So there are a lot of fiscal things that have taken place over the last 4 years that that report neglected to show. And unfortunately, it neglected to show it because the information in that report is stale. And answers to a lot of those things in that report had already been produced. And unfortunately, there was not an addendum letter of explanation attached to that report when it was passed on to you and when it was passed on, I guess more importantly, to the press, because that seemed to be more of a priority to see that the press got it before all the council members could get their hands on. So I just want to explain it to you. That's where when you give a tax return, and I understand that, you know, the revenue and income difference, that a lot of that was caused by Newcastle County. And anyone else, if it was a business, they'd have been in court long before then. But the Board of PAL decided to try to work it out, and thus we are here where we are this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Smiley. Councilman Street.
You presented this tax form, and I think you said there was a $200,000 decrease in
loss.
In assets, is that correct?
I said there was a $2,000 loss.
$200,000 loss.
Yes.
Isn't it the fact that a large part of that is, in fact, depreciation?
That would be part of it. That would be about $100,000 of it.
And didn't the depreciation... There's $7 million consistent with most organizations have to do in terms of depreciation reflected in this tax reform, in this tax form?
There would be about $100,000 of depreciation from what I could see.
Okay, and this is a 2010 tax return, is that correct? So it's current?
It's the most current that was out there on the internet that I could find.
Okay, but so it's current. And looking at contributions and grants in the prior year, I just want to see if I'm correct. Prior year, there was $219,000 in contributions and grants.
Correct.
And this year, for the current year, is $237,000 in grants.
That would be correct, too.
And so the fact of the matter is there was an increase in grants during the period. Is that correct?
That's the way I would read it. However, I don't know who the grants came from or how they got those
grants. But according to this tax form that you presented, there was actually an increase in the grants and contributions.
There is an increase, yes.
And yet we had a so-called audit come from our auditor, which said that there was a decrease. So I don't understand how they comport. If the auditor and the audit committee had that so-called audit in hand and this tax form in hand, then how does something get released to the press with saying the board is not raising funds when, in fact, for the designated tax period, there was actually an increase in contributions and grants?
That would be a question for the head of the audit committee, who actually delved a little bit more in the numbers.
But now come the audit committee, and you're one of his representatives tonight, okay?
I am a member of, yes.
And you come forward with saying that you should table it. And because the board can't raise funds, and the fact of the matter is, according to this document that you presented to us,
mm-hmm.
There's an increase in contributions.
I would say that's relatively a small amount compared to the expense.
But there's a, okay, you're correct. And if I wanted to sit here as a councilman representing the area and scream, holler, and foul, mischief on the part of one council person, the auditor, and now you as the exec committee, then that would just be totally wrong and I would be in egregious error because I can't read this tax report that says there's an increase in overall contributions.
If you're just pulling out one number, but if you would look at any organization that is kind of running at that deficit, and if you look at the fact that 55% of what's raised is actually going to the fundraiser, I would be concerned.
And the fact of the matter is, if I go through this in the back, there was one salary reported, and only one salary met the category that had to be reported, and that was of the executive director, which was $67,000. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And that's an appropriate level of compensation consistent with nonprofits throughout the county. And as a matter of fact, it's low comparatively. And so there's no impropriety there. Is that correct?
The audit was not done, and it doesn't look for fraud.
Okay. But y'all are looking for fraud.
No.
Okay, and I'm saying fraud because there's been some fraudulent information come forward about what's actually going on with Powell and that board, and I think it's a shame and a disgrace for y'all to put this on the table knowing full well that what's set forth here that you presented is an egregious error as compared to what was presented in the public press.
I would think,
Mr. President, I call for the vote.
Second.
There's I don't want to hear it, man. Don't stand up here and start whispering in my ear now. You wasn't whispering in my ear last week.
Second.
I'm sorry, there's a motion on the floor. We'll call for the vote on the motion. There's been a motion to call for a vote. All in favor of limiting any further discussion on this, including public comment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
No.
No. The ayes have it. The vote has been called. The motion has been passed. Madam Clerk, will you please please call the roll on Resolution 11-176?
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cardiac?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
No.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
No.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
No.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 10 yes, 3 no.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 11-176 is approved. Moving on to ordinances. Ordinance 11-099, Councilman Smiley.
Already?
Already.
I would request that Ordinance 11-099 be read by title only and placed before Council for its consideration.
Second.
Ordinance 11-099 to amend Newcastle County Code Chapter 14, Finance and Taxation, regarding abatement of penalties and taxes.
Yes, Mr. President. Not to be redundant, to be brief, this makes no changes whatsoever. All it does is clarify in the code that the council member is to be involved, and that is the process. Once, if there's a request for abatement of penalties that falls outside of what we have authorized the CFO to approve.
Thank you, Councilman Smiley. Any members of council have any questions or comments? Seeing none, open floor to the public. Any member of the public wishing to speak forward on the subject of this ordinance, please come forward at this time. Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Ordinance 11-099.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Present.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 12 yes, 1 present.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Ordinance 11-099 is approved. Ordinance 11-012, Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would ask for consideration to be able to have ordinance number 11-102 and 11-103 read into the record at the same time, since they are companion ordinances, and one cannot be passed without the other.
Sorry.
Motion's been made to consolidate ordinance 11-102 and 103 for the reading and for the record and consideration before council. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Councilman Bell, ordinance 11-012 and 13 is before
us. Yes, Mr. President, I move that ordinance number 11-102 and ordinance number 11-103 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Ordinance 11-102, amend the grants budget appropriate $1,260,426 to fund six additional police officer positions under the 2011 COPS hiring program for the Department of Public Safety. Ordinance 11-103, amend the annual operating budget, revised public safety staffing at six police officer positions to be largely funded through the 2011 COPS hiring program.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ordinance number 11-102 is an appropriation of the United States Department of Justice, the Office of Community-Oriented Policing Services, referred to as COPS funds. These federal funds were acquired by our Department of Public Safety and Administration to support the hiring of six additional police officers under the 2011 COPS hiring program, referred to as CHP. Federal funding will support the salary and benefit over a three-year period, and in order to complete this transaction, ordinance number 11-103 must be passed. And ordinance 11-103 would adjust the FY 2012 operating budget by adding six police officers to the Department of Public Safety Division of Police. These positions are to be grant funded by the 2011 COPS hiring program. Funding for these positions must be passed by County Council on Ordinance 11-102. Sworn officer positions will then be increased from 364 to 370. Both these ordinances were discussed in detail in our Finance Committee meeting this afternoon. Presentation was made by Colonel McLaren and staff on both of these ordinances. And I think that the underlying fact is that I believe everyone has mentioned it before and would agree that our Public Safety Department is always looking and trying to acquire different grants and appropriations that will help offset the cost of our operating budget, and this particular grant and the increase of the staffing certainly reflects that.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Any member of council have questions or comments on Ordinance 11-102 or Ordinance 11-103? Seeing none, open the floor to the public. Any member of the public wishing to speak on the subject matter of either of these resolutions, 11-102, 11-103, please step forward at this time. Seeing no one, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on ordinances 11-012 and 11-013.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Dillard?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, roll call, Bills 13. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Ordinances 11-012 and 11-013 are approved.
Excuse me, Mr. President. You boxed the numbers. Yeah. I will play them when I leave tonight, but...
Nice. Why don't we say that again, then? Ordinance 11-012.
No, let's try it again.
One more time, third time's a charm.
Remember, we got college children here watching, so...
Yeah, play it on the light.
Ordinance 11-102.
Ordinance 11-102. And ordinance 11-103.
Now we know why you had problems with the contract.
All right. Moving on. Ordinance 11-105. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that resolution 11-105 be read by title only and placed before council for consideration.
Second.
Ordinance 11105 to revise Chapter 7 of the Newcastle County Code, also known as the Property Maintenance Code, regarding prohibited growth of weeds and grass.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that 11105 be tabled.
Second.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to table Ordinance 11-105. Got it right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Ordinance 11-105 is tabled. Moving on, Ordinance 11-106, Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Resolution 11-106, or I guess it's Ordinance 11-106, be read by title only and placed before Council for consideration.
Substitute one to Ordinance 11-106, authorizing the abatement of Newcastle County real property tax penalties on property of Robert P. and Helen B. Sheehan, located at 216 Clover Drive.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Substitute number one to Ordinance 11-106 is before us. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is the property owners had a mortgage with the bank. The bank received the tax bill in July. August 31st, the owners asked the bank for payoff information. On October 6th, they received that information, and on October 7th, they received an overdue notice on a tax bill. The tax bill has been paid. There is a $205.57 penalty that we are asking that be abated. There was no disclosure at their final payoff by the bank that the tax bill was not paid by the bank prior to giving them the numbers.
Thank you, Councilwoman Kilpatrick. Any member of council have any questions or comments on the ordinance before us? Seeing none, open the floor to the public. Any member of the public have any comment on substitute number one, Ordinance 11-106?
I got a feedback back.
Yes, sir. Councilman Sheldon.
I started thinking. I guess my question is what I have a constituent who said they never got the bill. And they're complaining because they got an overdue notice. How would that fit in for a person that he swears that he's paid for 45 years, never missed a payment, and didn't get this in the mail? Of course, I told a particular person not happy with me, saying that you do your due diligence to see if you owe this money. I guess what is the how can I make an agreement vote for this when I just told this guy pay it up? I mean, I guess I need a clarification and put my mind at ease on this.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick?
I think the difference here is that these property owners had a mortgage and their taxes were escrowed. Mm-hmm. When they closed out that mortgage, it was beyond the due date for the taxes, so that there was no reason to think that the bank would not have paid the tax prior to giving them the disclosure for paying off the mortgage. I mean, the bank.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I know I'm talking out of turn. Sorry. Excuse me. Bill made me do it.
So ultimately. Ultimately, you would have expected that by the end of September, when the taxes are due, that if you had not paid off your mortgage by that point, that the escrow would have been taken out and your taxes would have been paid.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Sheldon.
I'm not going to argue the point, but not to put it on him, but Bill, Mr. Councilman Powers took the words out of me. I think the bank owes us. Somebody, you know, made a mistake, and I know if I overpay or somebody's, I'm on the hook on.
Councilman Loretta?
Can I ask the councilman a question?
Councilman, it's your show. Go ahead.
Was the bank paying theirs, or were they paying out of pocket?
No, they're at that age, I think. I didn't ask that, but I'm almost certain that they were paying out of pocket.
Still is.
Yeah.
I didn't say that. He said
that. That was John.
I didn't say anything.
All right. I think there was a legitimate question asked. What's the difference between somebody missing a payment based on in failure to get a notice versus this situation where the people, it's not a question of notice, I don't think. In my mind, from what I heard the explanation of Councilman Kilpatrick, it wasn't a question of notice or proving not notice. They escrowed the actual amount they contacted, and it was a third party who messed up the transaction, which brings up the question, which begs the question, it's not these people's fault, but can we recover from somebody else? Councilwoman Kilpatrick?
And once these people received the notice that the bill was due, they paid the taxes. Mm-hmm. They just asked for an abatement on the penalty.
But same, all due respect, same here. Person paid it right away. So, I just want to know what to tell. Sorry, Mr. Chair.
No, Councilman Sheldon.
I just assume I got the floor. I just want to be fair and tell the person, because I think we've had this argument a little bit amongst county officials with the finance committee, or the people in finance, I should say, that tell us all the time, I need a resolution or ordinance to get us out of this. And I actually said zero. No, we fought this before. So, and I agree, the person probably did their due diligence. But then on the banking side, I think somebody didn't do their due diligence. And, I'll vote for it. I just want to know how to explain, because this is going to happen every year, believe me when I tell you. It's not even done yet, believe me. We'll have more.
Councilman Kilpatrick?
And I would assume that any complaint like this that comes to a council person, it's at their discretion whether they bring it before this body.
Any other questions, comments, members of council? Substitute number one, the ordinance 11106.
You're my stand.
Seeing none, open floor to the public. Any member of the public wishing to speak on the subject matter of substitute number one, ordinance 11-106, please come forward at this time. Seeing none, we'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on substitute number one, ordinance 11-106.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Dorr?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovacs?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
I'm going to call
Mr. Yes. Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
The roll call, yes, 13, yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Ordinance, substitute number one to ordinance 11-106 is approved. Moving on, item J, we do have a time-sensitive resolution, 11-177, Councilwoman Diller.
Yes, I ask that resolution 11-177 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Resolution 11177, thanking the American Turkish Friendship Association, Delaware, for working to promote diversity and inclusion in the community.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Councilwoman Diller.
Yes, I am joined by Councilman Tackett on this resolution. Our districts have a number of Turkish Americans who have been quite enthusiastic about welcoming their American friends into the fellowship of their community, and we just want to recognize their interest in diversity and present them with a resolution at their next dinner.
Thank you, Councilwoman Diller. I've attended this dinner in the past, and what a wonderful example of positive cultural relations. Any other councilmen have questions, comments, subject matter of this emergency resolution? Seeing none, open the floor to public. Does any member of the public wish to speak on resolution 11-177? Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on resolution 11-177.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins? Mr.
Penn.
Hollins?
Penn.
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 13, yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 11-177 is approved. Any other time-sensitive congratulatory honorary resolutions? Seeing none, move on to item K, introduction consideration of emergency ordinances. Any member of council aware of any emergency ordinances? Seeing none, move on to item L, public comment. Any member of the public wishing to address council, please step forward at this time.
No one from the poli sci class? You're still here? Good job.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
There's been a motion to adjourn and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting is adjourned.
Hallelujah.